Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heat, and Cooling and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. We're out here at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. The Predators in action tonight against the Vegas Golden Knights. Quick turnaround from the rough 5-1 loss in Dallas last night. D-Mace, Willie D, how we doing?
Doing well. Doing well. Can't complain. A lot warmer than it was yesterday, Willie.
Beautiful day today.
Mm-hmm. It hit 90 yesterday in Dallas.
We
were walking to the rink.
Hush, we didn't ask you all that.
Were you out sunbathing?
You know what?
You
I was
C.
just
Mason
thinking to myself, I kind of need to get some vitamin D. I need to get out there a little bit. But I was sweating walking over to the arena. I was like, good grief, it's 90 degrees out here.
While we were dealing with what, 60?
Freezing my butt off.
Somewhere around there, 60.
I was all bundled up in a coat when it was 55 degrees, being probably way more dramatic than I needed to be.
No, that
still.
Wind was blowing crazy yesterday, so I understand why.
Well, Tim Hasselbeck will join us in 1 hour. We'll get his thoughts on some of the moves around the NFL that have gone down over the last week. But I want to start here because this has been the biggest buzz in Nashville over the last few days. Now, we know Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks, they host the Move the Sticks podcast on the NFL Network. And Daniel Jeremiah dropped a very interesting tidbit on the podcast last week. This was Daniel Jeremiah.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I'll be shocked if the Arizona Cardinals take a player at the third position.
Can I give you the team that I've been told to keep an eye on that's exploring this and looking into this? Again, this is just people around the league who said do not sleep on numero 11, the Tennessee Titans.
Ooh.
The two teams to keep an eye on were the trade-ups were the Raiders and the Titans. Don't sleep on. And then we talked about the Raiders a bunch. We've talked about maybe Seattle at 5. I haven't heard a lot of buzz about Tennessee at 11. That would be an interesting one.
Okay, so don't sleep on number 11, the Titans moving up to number 3. And I'm sure by now you've either heard that clip or you've heard some of the rumblings about the Titans exploring the number 3 overall pick. And it's something that we've all discussed. And we've talked about, okay, you trade up to 3. Who would be available? Realistically, probably Anthony Richardson or Will Levis. We've discussed, is that a good fit for the Titans? We've discussed what the Titans would have to give up in order to move up to number 3 and what you would get out of that third overall pick. Is that worth what you would have to give up to trade up to that third overall pick? But what we haven't touched on yet is how realistic do we really think it is that the Titans actually make that move? Because Daniel Jeremiah said they're exploring it. Taylor Lewan tweeted at Daniel Jeremiah and said, you know, hey, how realistic is this? What would they have to give up? So on and so forth. Daniel Jeremiah said, hey, look, I just said they were exploring. Mm-hmm. That's all. Nothing more. How realistic do we really think it is?
Well, it's not real high, right? We know that the chances of actually doing this are quite low. And like we said yesterday, you could take this all the way up till literally minutes before your pick, before that third pick, mm-hmm. before you decide to dive in there. But exploring is what you do at this time of the year, right? You should be exploring what would it take to go down to 15. What let's explore if we moved up to 7. Who'd be there at 7? You know, there's right. everything that you want to do right now as you build your network, especially as a new GM. So I think you have to take this. It's fun sports radio thing, and it would be a big, big thing if they moved up to 3. But we do have to keep it in perspective, right? It's one guy who is hearing some stuff. But, again, you can be hearing a lot of things, but it is just exploring. And he's had a lot of attention. We've mm-hmm. played that clip I don't know how many times. Mm-hmm. I'm sure his phone's ringing. Taylor Lewan obviously reached out to him, right?
Trying to figure out
what do you mean here? But – you know, it's one. It's not like 4 or 5 other people have said, oh, yeah, I'm hearing the same thing. You know, it's just really Daniel Jeremiah on the island.
Yeah, it is. I think, you know, this time of year, there's always going to be rumblings about positions that teams are in. Are they willing to move up? Are they willing to move back? We're going to hear more and more of it closer we get to the draft day. And then obviously on draft day, there may be some movement as well that we hear about. So, you know, you should expect it from a team like the Titans because they are, you know, whether you want to call it a rebuild, reset, remodel, whatever, whatever you want to call it, this
whatever
team is
R word
exactly,
you want to use.
This team is in transition, and they need players at key positions. So when Daniel Jeremiah, when he comes out and he says, you know, watch the Titans at 11 because they have the potential to move up. Well, he's right because of the needs that this team have. They are in sort of this quasi need of a quarterback. They need one, but they don't this year. But they need one moving forward after this year. So they're in a prime position to either move up in the draft or, you know, stay put and move back because of that need at quarterback. If they didn't have a need at quarterback, they would not be in the conversation of teams moving up in the draft because they figure, you know, if we just need a defensive end or left tackle or cornerback, well, we can possibly get that guy that we're targeting or guys that we're targeting at the 11th spot or even moving back, which I believe they may do anyway. They may look at it from the standpoint of it's too rich for us to move up to the third spot. There are other quarterbacks that we like in this year's draft that we can potentially get if we move back in the first round or the top of the second round.
Yeah, and I think, you know, moving up, yes, it would answer a really big looming question for this franchise of what's your plan at quarterback moving forward. But I think it would almost create a whole lot more questions. It'd be great for us because we'd have wonderful talking points for the next few months. It'd be great for this fan base to be excited about the franchise quarterback moving forward. But it would create questions about that quarterback of how are you going to approach his development? Because let's say it's an Anthony Richardson. How are you approaching his development? How are you going to approach the backup quarterback position? Are you going to carry Anthony Richardson and Malik Willis and Ryan Tannehill? And you're going into the season with Malik Willis as your backup quarterback. You know, what is the dynamic going to be like between Ryan Tannehill and Anthony Richardson? How are you going to approach the draft in the next, you know, either the rest of this draft or next year's draft, not having a first round pick? I would say likely would take at least next year's first round pick.
That's a
to
problem.
Start.
And that's a problem for me. I just don't like signing up for that if I'm Rand Carthon.
That's the thing is I think that the Titans could be such a wild card this year and probably will be a wild card this year because we don't have any sample size of Rand Carthon. He's a first-time general manager. But I look at it like if Rand Carthon is a first-time general manager, he is a first-time general manager, does he want to make his first move as GM trading your next year's first-round pick and other picks? Probably, I would say, would take this year's first, next year's first, and maybe 2 seconds to trade up for a quarterback that doesn't seem like a for-sure thing.
Well, this year's pick, it would only be a swap, so you can't. This year, you can't count it because it'd just be a swap with the 3rd and 11th.
Yeah.
They take the 11th, you take the 3rd.
Right, that's a wash.
Next year's, I think we got to look at it from this standpoint. Next year's first round pick, if you have to give up next year's first round pick and you believe you have your guy, it's worth it. Because you think in your mind, I'm going to have to use that first round pick anyway next year to get the guy, to potentially get the guy that I want. And we may not be that bad where I'm picking in the top 11, top 12. This team might end up, you know, winning 9 games. So that pushed them further down in the draft, somewhere in the, you know, late teens to 20s. So I don't mind, you know, the Tennessee Titans going into this draft and saying, okay, if we can move up to the 3rd spot, we're giving up our first round next year, and let's just say a second round the year after that or a 3rd round the year after that. Let's just say that. Then I think it's justified if you get the quarterback that you want. It's justified because there's a price to pay to move up.
Mm-hmm.
Carolina moved up. If they get their quarterback and say 2 years from now that quarterback turns out to be trending in the right way, it was worth giving that up.
Totally.
Because eventually you are going to have to move up. You don't want to – essentially you don't want to be that bad where you got the number one pick. But if you don't get your quarterback, you're going to have to move up eventually in the draft if you're not that bad. So in their eyes, we might as well do it now, get our quarterback that we want. 2-3 years down the line, people are saying it was worth it because you got your franchise quarterback. Titans, the same situation. If you have to give up your first round for next year and maybe a second round, if you do indeed get your guy at that third pick and it turns out, you know, in a year, 2 years that it was the right decision, then you say it was worth it, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
So, to me, whether you give up a first and a second or, you know, a first next year and whatever, if you feel you have your guy, then it's worth making that move, because you may not be in this position ever again. You don't want to be in this position where you're drafting a franchise quarterback this high. You don't.
But that's an if.
Yeah.
And that's the most important if you find your guy, mm-hmm. if that is your guy. Because if you leverage the future, if you leverage at least future picks to trade up to number three, and that's not your guy, and that's Rand Carthon's first big major move as GM, that's not a great way to start your tenure in Tennessee. It's not a great way to start your tenure as an NFL general manager.
Well, he can't be scared of that. If everybody's on board, Mike Vrabel, Amy.
The collective.
Right. If they all are on board to drafting this specific guy or two, then –
You got to trust yourself.
If that's your evaluation.
Yeah, exactly. If everybody's evaluation, then
you move up and you get it. But I'm going to tell you this. If indeed they do move up to that third pick and they get their guy, whether it's C.J. Stroud or Anthony Richardson, one of those top four guys, Malik Willis will not be here. He won't. Not because – I don't think they would have the time to develop him the way he needs to be developed, because he essentially would be the third quarterback. All your time will be spent developing that guy, your franchise guy. Not to say that Malik wouldn't get developed, but developed for what? A backup role?
That also is where Rand Carthon's eyes are coming in. What is his evaluation of Malik Willis?
Yeah.
You know, where does he think he could be? Does he think down the road, 2 or 3 years, he could turn into a good quarterback? Do they have the patience to wait that long? Mm-hmm. This comes back to the whole thing about developing quarterbacks. I think they should have a spot for a third quarterback to develop the position. It's so important to the good of the game.
Mm-hmm.
We need to develop quarterbacks in our game. If I'm a football guy, I would be voting for that. GMs, scouts, like everybody would agree.
So there are
let's
so
just
many
create it.
Average Force at best quarterbacks.
There's not enough quarterbacks to go around, so let's develop guys like Malik Willis. Mm-hmm. He needs more time.
But if you're drafting a guy,
then that's it. He's out of the mix.
Anthony Richardson or Hendon Hooker, then those are the guys that are going to be you look at as being your franchise quarterback. You're not looking at Malik Willis as being a franchise quarterback. You're not even looking at him as being your backup, because if anything happens to Ryan Tannehill, you don't want to have to throw in Anthony Richardson, and then you don't want to look at your third quarterback and figure he's not ready either. So what do? You draft Anthony Richardson, if indeed that's the route or Hendon Hooker, and you get you a veteran behind those guys so they can develop, even if Ryan Tannehill gets hurt. Because to me, if you throw Malik Willis in there again, you're going to end up seeing the same thing, possibly.
And that's what they want to avoid.
Exactly.
But coming up next, we remember Mike Tannenbaum's mock draft, how I think we were all on the floor from some of the picks that he made.
Uh-huh.
This one might be even more of a doozy with what this mock draft projects the Titans to do. And we will get into that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline Willie DeMays, 1025-1063, The Game.
What are you hearing about the number 3 overall pick? And what do you think about Move the Sticks' report of Tennessee potentially being in there?
So, first of all, I have not yet heard specifically that Tennessee is going to move, is poised to move. I'm 100% sure they are making phone calls, because every team makes phone calls. And I'll say this, my friend Daniel Jeremiah, usually when he says something, there is plenty of reason behind it. Like, he is not a rumor guy usually, and he's very, very connected. So usually when he says things, except if it's about the Padres, usually he knows. Tennessee would seem to make sense for a possible team to trade up. They have Ryan Tannehill on, you know, a deal for another year. He is getting up in age, obviously has not been at his top, I would say, the last year. Them being in the quarterback world would make sense. They were last year, took a quarterback in the third round.
There you go. That was Ian Rappaport on the Pat McAfee show earlier this week. And he said, look, I mean, it would, like, the Titans aren't tied to Tannehill beyond next year. It would make sense if they want to move up to the third overall pick. But it is talking season. Yes. And it's season of calling around and season of dipping your toes in the water. But there's a very interesting mock draft that just came out just a few minutes ago, and this is from 33rd Team. And so this is a kind of a media outlet made up of former players, former coaches, a lot of people that are plugged into the NFL. And this mock draft has the Titans doing exactly what we've been discussing over the past couple of days, moving up to number three. So in this mock draft, obviously Carolina takes number one. They have Carolina taking Bryce Young at number two. Here's a kicker. Houston Texans taking Anthony Richardson at number two. Titans trading up to number three. Now, before I even get into the pick, this is what the mock draft has Tennessee giving up for the number three overall pick. This year's one, this year's two, this year's three, this year's five, and next year's second round pick. So your 2022 first, second, third, fifth, and fifth round picks plus 2024 second round pick. To take, drumroll please, Will Levis.
What's their thinking behind that? In other words, you would pass on Stroud.
C.J. Stroud in this mock draft is going fourth to the Indianapolis Colts.
Okay, so do they have an angle on that? I mean, I'm always curious. Like, you can, like, the three of us could put together a fun mock draft and have a lot of fun story things, but obviously we would have no basis. No, like you said, like, I've never heard of this before, but if it's a collaboration of former players, football people that know people, I'm just wondering where that's come. I'm just wondering where that's coming from.
Yeah, it's, you know, something like that. I just, it's too far-fetched for me. Mm-hmm. And I'm with Willie. Are they, is this a, okay, this is a, we've thrown together like three or four mock drafts. Let's put those aside and let's put together this like special.
This Fantasyland mock draft.
Yeah, mock draft, Fantasyland. Let's just throw all this together without even taking into account some things you may have heard from other GMs, coaches, or talking heads or whatnot. This is basically, you know, what you are thinking in your mind that could throw a monkey wrench in everything. If this happens, this is what the mock draft will look like, and how would it affect, you know, teams after the fifth pick, you know. So I can't – Stroud going, what was it, fourth?
Four.
Yeah, I can't see that happening.
Well, and if that is going to happen, I just – it makes me wonder, what would happen if you just sat there at 11? You know, there's a chance that one of these guys would fall to 11 without you having to trade anywhere.
Possibly.
Yeah.
And the justification here on this mock draft is the Titans move up from number 11 to number 3 to fill their big quarterback need. The Titans give up 11, 41, 72, and 147 to go along with a second-round pick in 2024. Will Levis will be a good fit in this city and with this team. The Titans feel like they're a quarterback away from being contenders in the AFC. There is nothing in there.
Say that again. Contenders
in the AFC.
Okay. Say that again. One. What would they be giving up?
Number 11, your first-round pick. Your second-round pick. Your third round pick, your fifth round pick, and your 2024 second. So you're giving up
for Will
five
Levis?
Picks for Will.
For Will Levis.
Levis.
Yeah, that person's drinking a lot of, you know, that good juice. Drinking a lot of that.
Okay,
good juice.
Okay, well let's flip it. Let's say it's for Stroud. Let's say you see that Stroud's available at three.
And you're moving up to three.
Yeah.
11th, you're swapping picks. Second. I'm not giving up all of this, all of these picks this year. I'm not giving up a – I mean, you know, you swapping, that's not really giving up. You're just swapping. But a second, a third, and a fifth of this year, I'm not giving up
that's
that
half
much.
Of your picks.
Yeah, I'm
your
not
draft.
Giving up that much this year. Now, if they want a second this year, a third next year, or a second next year and a fifth, then okay, we can talk. But I'm not giving up essentially half of my draft in 2023 as a new GM to move up to the third spot.
Especially to get Will Levis.
Yeah, to get Will Levis. No,
when CJ Stroud is on the board, absolutely not.
That's just too much. Too rich for my blood.
I think of it in terms of not what we think of these quarterbacks, but what do you think is worth moving up to eight spots? Like, I think it's interesting, this formula. They have it not having to give up a first-round pick next year, right? That's the formula they're coming with. So if you didn't give up a first, how would you make up for it? Well, they're saying second, third, fifth, plus a second. So that's the equivalent. But I think that's where the wheeling and dealing, that's where all the phone calls come in. If you're actually exploring this, is, all right, what am I willing to give up? And who do I think is worth it, right? It's got to be the guy. I'm sure they're going to have differing opinions on all of these quarterbacks that are moving up the charts. And you also, in the back of your mind, too, have to say, is it possible one of these guys falls to 11 to where I don't have to do all this and I still get a quarterback that I like? That's where you really have to try to get your intelligence, you know, out there. Get your spies, get your people trying to get as much information as you can. And you can't know, but there's also going to be, I think, between now and the draft, a dozen reports where somebody floats a story to a Schefter, a Jeremiah, a Rappaport, whoever. And they want to get some things going, right? They want to get something going in the media. And it may be completely a hoax, right? Or just to try to throw people off track of what they're really thinking. And that goes on.
That's
right?
One important thing to remember is it's also lying season. It's talking season. It's gossip season. It's lying season.
You don't think the Cardinals are trying to drum up as much action as they can for that pick?
Absolutely, they do.
They're trying to get everybody to call them and ask them what would you give up for that pick?
It's basically three card Molly. It's just like I'm just trying to get you to look one way.
He knows he's got his quarterback, so he knows people would cover that pick. So hey, I want my phone to ring. Let's get it going.
And I think too, if it does fall like this, and this is a big if, I don't project this happening, but if Anthony Richardson gets taken number two or number one, where you'll have one of the Bryce Young or CJ Strouds dropping to three, you don't think the price is going to absolutely skyrocket for that number three pick if Arizona doesn't deal the number three overall pick before draft day? I think if this happens and Arizona's going to make a game day decision, a draft day decision, you're not giving up this year's first, second, you know, swapping first, second, third, fifth, and next year's second. You're giving up multiple firsts because the asking price is going to be through the roof. The Colts are going to see a Bryce Young or a CJ Stroud available, and they are going to be in the mix for it. The Raiders, the Bucks, all of these quarterback needy teams seeing one of the best quarterbacks, or at least who's evaluated as one of the best quarterbacks in this year's draft, being available at number three, and Arizona's going to say, keep them coming, bring the offers in. It's going to skyrocket. And even this is a little bit too rich for my blood, not to mention how much the price will go up on draft day. I'm not interested in giving up that many picks. I'm also not interested in passing on CJ Stroud to get Will Levis. And you might be saying, well, why not? Why not Will Levis? Well, in Football Morning in America, Peter King kind of broke down some of the evaluations around the league of Will Levis, and we'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts. Again, in this mock draft on 33rdteam.com, they mock the Titans trading up to the number three overall pick and taking Will Levis over CJ Stroud. Just absolutely wild. We'll get your thoughts on it coming up next. It's Caroline, Willie, DeMace, 1025, 1063, The Game. Caroline, Willie, DeMace, hey, tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 6:45 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds have their first road series against the Memphis Redbirds, the AAA affiliate of the St. Louis Cardinals. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. We're out here at Pete and Terry's Tavern. Predators taking on the Vegas Golden Knights tonight. So in this mock draft from 33rdteam.com, and I'm going to be honest with everybody, I had never heard of that before today. But it's a a collection of former players, former GMs, former coaches, NFL insiders who all contribute to creating content for this website.
Are there any names that are on there, like examples of...
of authors?
Yeah. Like you said, I mean, these are... it sounds to me like this could be a good group.
Rondé Barber, Laverius Coles, Matt Castle, Leonard Fournette, Wayne
Matt
Corbett,
Castle. So you got one former Titan in there.
Eddie George.
Eddie George is in
there? Yeah. Greg Jennings. This... who's on their roster. I don't know what the roster means, but, you know.
I've seen Trey Wingo doing some stuff with them as well.
Interesting. So I'm just curious, how did they come up with, like, who like, there's got to be a committee. Like, there's a million guys. It can't be. So how did they come up with a second, third, and a fifth, and a second? Like, I wonder how that process works as they put together a mock draft that says, okay, well, let's have the Titans move up to three. Mm-hmm. What would be the trade? Like, I wonder which people.
They got some pretty, you know, Charles Davis, that was one of their contributors.
Okay.
Dean Blandino.
Yeah.
So they have some,
yeah,
some guys
legit
and girls.
Guys.
Yeah, legit.
I would say, I guess they're looking at former drafts where somebody may have traded up from 10, 11, 12-ish area, moving up to 3 or 4-ish area, what it would take, how valuable that pick could be.
I just think
the whole phenomenon of mock drafts
makes
me laugh because you have this group, right, that's doing the same thing that some kid in his basement
he and his buddies are doing.
Right.
It could be the same thing as like a bracket.
I mean, right. Yeah. It very much could be.
Right.
But this, to me, it's, you know, every draft is different. It has its own unique sort of how it works itself out. Because every year, whether it be, you know, mock drafts from 5 different people or 10 different people, or it's just, you know, us talking, you know, through what's going on, it changes like that. Like, the minute one guy gets drafted that nobody even talked about, then it just changes the whole landscape of the first round. So,
yeah. Like, Hendon Hooker is a great one. I'm sure there's divided philosophies. Certain teams probably feel a certain way on him. It just takes the one team that loves him. And like you said, all of a sudden that changes the whole complexion of the first round. Right?
It's the same thing with the 49ers. When they traded up to 3 overall to get their quarterback, everyone thought it was going to be Mac Jones. They're taking Mac Jones. They take Trey Lance, which was kind of a curveball. Mac Jones gets pushed down in the mid-first round of the Patriots, and then the rest is history. And that's all it really takes. But this 33rd team mock draft has the Titans trading up to number 3 and taking Will Levis for 5 draft picks, 4 in this year's draft, and 1 second-round pick next year. And the craziest thing about it is they have them taking Will Levis over C.J. Stroud. They mocked C.J. Stroud to the Colts at number 4. And Jim Irsay is probably looking at this and saying, woohoo, we can get C.J. Stroud at number 4.
All right. Do what you need to do. What was the trade? What did the 49ers give up to move up to get Trey Lance?
3 first-round picks, I think.
And how many spots did they move up?
Started. I don't remember it. So that would have been the 2021 draft. The 49ers in 2020. Well, maybe they didn't move up that much because the 49ers didn't have a great 2020 season. I don't remember how many picks they moved up. But I do remember it was 3 first-round picks.
I think there's kind of a benchmark that you could look at, right, as to what it would take to move up. But I'm curious, like, if they'd have just waited till their pick, would Trey Lance have been sitting there? For them, could they have done this without trading up?
Is that a risk you're willing to take?
I'm just wondering. Yeah. Because as it's turned out, here we are, fast forward.
Well,
he hasn't really made any impact at all. They've still won, but not because of that trade.
Because of their final pick in the draft.
They dealt the 29th pick in 22 and the 28th pick in 2023 to move up to number 12 to the number 3 in 2021 draft. So they gave up a lot of picks.
They gave to move up to get
Trey Lance. Yeah, two first round picks.
Well, 3 firsts if you want to add in that year.
Add in, yeah.
So technically,
so
3.
So they swapped,
and then two additional
picks. Firsts. Mm-hmm. Okay, and has that been good for the 49ers as we sit here today? No.
I mean, that specific pick, no, but you could also argue, well, they've been in the NFC Championship game, whether it's with that pick or not.
I know, so it's not because of him.
Right. But my thing about Will Levis, if the Titans want to trade up to number three and they find their they feel so confident that that's their quarterback of the future, then fine. I don't think it's going to happen. But if that's what the Titans want to do, then you answer a big question about your team. You fill a big hole in your team moving forward. But this is on Football Morning in America, Peter King's column that came out on Pro Football Talk. And he was asked about the first overall pick, the quarterbacks that could go first overall. And he mentions Will Levis. So he talks about how he asked two scouts and then one coach in the NFL about their evaluation of Will Levis. And his evaluation of Will Levis said that he was more of a second round grade. The coach said that he wasn't sold on Will Levis and he believes he deserves a second round grade. You can't trade, and of course that's one coach's opinion,
yeah.
But you can't trade five picks to move up to number three overall and take a quarterback that this coach thinks has a second round grade.
And is he the only coach that thinks that? Exactly. That's what I would want to know. That's why I think it's great that you're vetting this. But let's just take, for example, Andrew Luck. Would any coach have said, yeah, I got a second round grade on Andrew Luck? You know what I mean? Like some quarterbacks are absolutely first round grade, unanimous.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's mixed reviews on Levis. There's definitely mixed reviews on Richardson.
Uh-huh.
Definitely mixed reviews on Hendon Hooker.
Yeah.
Right? So I agree with that. To me, if you got a lot of mixed reviews, how can you give up that many assets to move up to get a guy like that? I'm not on board with that.
I think in regards to Hendon Hooker, I think there are two things and they're obvious things that are, making GMs or head coaches sort of, he goes from being a first rounder to possibly a second or third round. Let's just say that range. I think a lot of it has to do with one you talk about all the time, Willie, his age,
mm-hmm.
him being 25, potentially 26. I think he may be 26 during the season.
And remember, Levis is a little bit older.
Yeah,
too.
Levis is older, and then the injury he sustained this season. But I think, beside that, if you look at what Hendon Hooker has been able to do over the last year and a half, 2 years, I think there are more people that are thinking he's more of a first rounder than he would be a second or a third rounder because mm-hmm. he has first round talent. But you can't overlook, he has to have a year rehab, and then he will, I think he turns 26. Sometime during the season or early next year. So if that is indeed, I think those are the two things that are really holding him like in that space of, we don't know, he can go as high as, let's just say 11
mm-hmm.
to the Titans or as low as a late second round. I wouldn't say third round. I'd be surprised if he got outside the third round, but a late second round pick.
Hendon Hooker.
Levis, by the way, will be 24 before the season starts.
Mm-hmm.
So he's 23 now. He turns 24 in June. Hooker will turn 26 in January. So he'll spend the season as a 25-year-old. So this, I would say, is his 25-year-old season coming up.
But you would look at Hendon Hooker and say his second contract, almost the entirety of it, is going to be played in his 30s. And that's that's kind of a dice that you're going to have to figure out what you want to do with him.
Factor that in to your evaluation.
Well, if you draft him in the second round, you will get him. He would play under that first contract in his 20s. You would sign that second contract right in his late 20s, and he would play it into his probably early 30s, mid to early 30s. So mm-hmm. I don't even think really that's a problem. If he progresses the way you think he will and he becomes a franchise quarterback – I don't think that would be necessarily a huge problem because these quarterbacks are playing longer now.
And even with the age in the injury,
uh-huh.
based off of everything that I've seen with my own two eyes watching those two and everything I've heard about those two throughout the draft process, I'd rather take Hendon Hooker over Will Levis, and you're not going to have to trade up to number three overall to go get Hendon Hooker. I mean, and this also is in Football Morning in America. He asked Todd McShay and Daniel Jeremiah, of course, ESPN, NFL Network, the main draft guys. They each have Will Levis ranked fourth of four between C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Anthony Richardson, and Will Levis. They both have Will Levis number four. This coach has Will Levis as a second-round grade. I have no interest in that. And then there's been the rumors of Will Levis having really bad interviews. I don't know how much of that is true. I don't know how much of that has just been thrown around. But those things matter. Those interviews matter, especially for that position. So if you are going to trade away half of your draft and your second round next year to find your quarterback of the future, he needs to be a guy that, to Willie's point, seems like a little bit more of a sure thing than maybe a second-round pick.
Which is why, ultimately, I'm not holding my breath that they're going to do this. They're actually going to do this.
To that third pick?
Yeah. I'm not thinking.
I think it will. If it does happen, it will be day of after Carolina picks. I think if Carolina chooses to go with Anthony Richardson, then I think Marcus
Who, by the way, if we're talking age, exactly. He is 20.
Yeah.
He hasn't turned 21 yet.
He's a baby.
He can't even celebrate
with champagne on draft night.
Next month.
Exactly.
You're right. He can't legally drink.
Yeah. But if he gets drafted at number one, I think now the store is open to make moves, to make transitions. Who wants to get in that number three spot? Because you got an opportunity to get a potential day one starter in CJ Stroud or Bryce Young. And if the Titans do move up to number one, then what do they do with Ryan Tannehill? Because now you got a quarterback, if they draft Richardson, you got two quarterbacks that everybody predicts will be day one starters.
No way they're taking. So how do you trading up to number one?
No. I'm saying if Richardson goes number one, you have CJ Stroud and you have Bryce Young sitting there. You're going to get one or two. So and many are predicting those guys as being day one starters. So the Titans, if you move up to number three, you got to do something with Ryan Tannehill, because if you draft one of these two guys, everybody is expecting them to be day one starters. It's not a sit and wait like an Anthony Richardson or Will Levis or a Hendon Hooker. No, you found your quarterback that can start day one.
Let's get your thoughts on it. I see your phones. We are right to those coming up next. 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game.
What do you think of him and basically just the top of this class of receivers and where they slot into this draft?
Yeah, we've been spoiled at receivers the last, three or four years. You got some of the best receivers in the league coming out of these recent drafts, immediately. You get Justin Jefferson, you get your Jamar Chases, you get your Jalen Waddles, all these guys coming out in the last couple of years, and there's no one of those guys in the draft. I don't think that there ends up being a top 10 receiver that's taken in this draft, which I don't think that's happened in the last three or four years. And so, I don't know that this is a draft where I would be giddy about getting the first round receiver. But like you mentioned, if you got a pick in that second or third round, even early in day three, you can still find a guy who can be an impact player. Maybe he's not a number one for you, but he could be a really good number two, number three.
Dude, that was Cameron Wolf on Robbie and Rex Road this morning. And hey, Preds fans, hang out tonight before the Preds game at the Superbook Lounge and Landshark Bar and Grill, Margaritaville on Broadway with 1025 and 1063 The Game. Place your bets with Superbook and enjoy great food and drink specials. Plus, enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. We're out here at Pete and Terry's Tavern ahead of the Predators matchup with the Vegas Golden Knights. Again, 33rdteam.com has the Titans trading up in their most recent mock draft to number three overall and taking Will Levis with CJ Stroud still on the board. Unless we have thoughts to the phones.
To the phone.
Bring it.
Phone lines driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have a thought, Wes in Clarksville texts in and said, I would rather have Hendon Hooker before Will Levis. That's what I said. I mean, Hooker seems like a little bit more of a sure thing
Hooker
to me.
Hooker where? In the second round or
and that's
at 11?
The thing. I'm not trading up to number three to draft Hendon Hooker when I can have Hendon Hooker at 25 or if I can even have potentially Hendon Hooker in the second round.
See, I think that's really intriguing. That's where you get into it. That's why I don't think you should put all your eggs in one basket. I think you should be willing to to me, you take several paths and say, whatever comes my way, that's what we're going to go with. Even if it involves not drafting a quarterback. If that's how it falls, right? You don't know how it's going to fall. Like you said, Derek, it takes one team to throw a monkey wrench into the whole thing. All of a sudden, whoa, we didn't know that was going to happen.
Right.
And then, so then all your plans are washed out if you thought, well, okay, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do this. We're making the trade a month before the draft. You know, all of this stuff. So I just think it's good to strategize and look at a number of different pathways that could be successful.
You don't want to put
And one of them would be that. Like a hooker falls to you in the second round. Hey, he's still sitting around here. That's what they did with Willis last year. He was still sitting there in round three. A lot of people thought he would be a first-round pick. He wasn't. They picked him in the third round, and here we are.
I don't remember who did it last year. Maybe Daniel Jeremiah. If it wasn't him, then I feel bad for incriminating him in this way. Someone had Malik Willis going number one overall last year.
Number one overall.
Number one overall. So just keep in mind how wacky and weird things can be.
Well, we need not listen to that guy ever again. Whoever had him at number one.
But there were a lot that thought he was going to go in the first round, right?
Yeah. Yes.
In the first round somewhere.
But, I mean... But that's how it is. There's always, you know, that one guy that, especially last year, because last year's draft, I think they were fishing for a guy that could potentially be in the first round or that top 10 pick. They were reaching for guys, and they had to because there was no clear-cut top 5 or top 10 guy. Hell, there was no clear-cut top 15 or 20 guy.
No clear-cut first-round guy even, yeah.
I think this year is different. I think you have arguably two clear-cut guys in Shroud and Young, and then you have a guy that is a clear-cut first, but there are a few saying, is he a top 10 pick or is he – you know, 11 through 15, 11 through 20, because he's a project. And then the other guys, Will Levis, are they bottom of the first round, second round? Hendon Hooker, bottom of the first round, second round. So there's not much grasping at straws here because there's two guys that are going to go within the first three picks. We know that. We understand that. But then the other ones are, will they get in the top five, Richardson?
Mm-hmm.
Will they get in the top, the bottom half, 11 through 15 or 11 through whatever? That's Will Levis, Hendon Hooker, and some other quarterback that you want to throw in there.
The quarterback's projected to go third, fourth,
exactly.
Fifth round, yeah.
Absolutely.
Glenn from Greenbrier checks in. Says, I wouldn't trust any coach who gives Levis a second round grade. I'm a Levis and Kentucky fan, but I wouldn't give up those picks for him. Maybe the truth with Will Levis is somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
You're not trading five picks to go get Will Levis, but maybe Will Levis isn't a second-round pick. Maybe Will Levis is just a mid-round, first-round quarterback who can be an average starter in the league. I don't know what Will Levis is going to become, but I think that the idea that Will Levis has been seen or projected as high as number one overall and has been evaluated as low as a second-round pick, usually the truth is somewhere in the middle. Somebody likely is going to overpick a quarterback in this year's draft. That feels inevitable.
Is he a first-round pick? I mean, that's up to teams to decide that, whether he's a first-round pick. You can look at his talent and what he's done over the course of the last two seasons and say, hey, listen, if you put players around him, he will excel. But then you also can look at it from the standpoint of he can't carry a team. He can't make guys better because when he had opportunity to in Kentucky his last year after guys had left, he didn't elevate that team. Now, some of it could be because of injury. He dealt with a lot of injury last year, but he still wasn't able to elevate that Kentucky team as he did the previous years when he had the guys that were able to, be playmakers for him. So I guess you can sort of look at it from two sides of the coin. I think if you are a Will Levis fan, you will say he can do it. He has all the tools. Mm-hmm. He's big, strong, can throw the football. He can work on his accuracy just like the other quarterbacks. But if you are a con for Will Levis, you're going to bring up, well, his junior year to his senior year was much different. He dealt with injury his last season. So you're going to pick
at,
you're going to pick at all these things that happened during his last year rather than look at the good things that happened during the season prior.
I think that, probably so. And LD from McMinnville, Texan says, didn't Mel Kiper have Levis as his number one ranked quarterback?
At one point, he did.
A couple months ago, Mel Kiper was taking his pants off for Will Levis. He could not stop talking. Nobody wants to see that. He loved Will Levis. I don't know if he's kind of come down from that Will Levis high recently or not. But, the truth of the matter is, It's Will Levis, everything that I have heard and everything that I've seen is not worth trading up for. And if I think that, Willie thinks that, Derek thinks that, I see all of you in the text line thinking that, Rand Carthon is smarter than all of us. Rand Carthon's not going to make that move.
Let me ask you guys this. Has anybody ever seen someone do research on the good and the bad of Mel Kiper, who's been doing this for forever? Like, he's been doing it longer than anybody else.
Yeah. Yes,
I'd love to see a study of where he's been right, where he's been wrong. Like, anybody who does it for as long as he has is going to have some really good home runs and a lot of strikeouts, probably more strikeouts than home runs. But I just wonder, how has he done over the years with some of these profound things?
I did a full breakdown. And this was last year.
Okay.
I haven't done it yet to evaluate last year's draft, and I will do that this week.
Okay.
But I looked at Dane Brugler, Daniel Jeremiah, Mel Kiper, Todd McShay, and Peter King, and I looked at all of their final mock drafts of the year over the last 4 years, so from 2019 to 2021, and of those five, Mel Kiper was the worst. Got the fewest, from my point system, had the lowest number of points. But Peter King and Dane Brugler were the best.
Okay.
Well, there you go.
Okay.
It's I guess scouts and GMs rather talk to those two guys.
Yeah, the Mel Kiper. Taking his pants off for Will Levis over here. Let's see.
I can't unsee that. Yeah. That image is in my mind. This is very sad.
Apologies to you and everybody else who has a mental image. We will chat with Tim Haslebeck coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on this. ESPN NFL analyst. It's Caroline Willie DeMace. 1025-106.3 The Game.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.